Tonight's show is based around some conversations that I've had with a friend and companion of mine called Patrick. We've been talking a lot about some management shenanigans that have been going on at the school which he's recently moved his youngest son to, down in the south of England after he moved away from Mid Wales. And I was struck talking to him and his partner that a lot of the things he was saying to me and a lot of the meetings they'd been to and several other things that were going on were highly reminiscent of the kind of activities that we at TNS and Scottish Sovereigns have come to associate with the group called Common Purpose. Now, neither Patrick nor his partner had actually heard of Common Purpose. They have done a little bit of looking into it since then, and I think they've also been examining the Delphi technique, and I suspect that some of that's been used as well. So I decided that it'd be a good idea to sit and have a bit of a recorded conversation with Patrick to see, get a little bit of detail on how it had all been running. And it's all pretty self-explanatory, so I'll put on the conversation, try and adjust the levels to the point where it's actually audible to you. So for the next hour and a bit, you'll be listening to a conversation that I had just recently with Patrick, in which we rounded up some of the things that are going on. It's not just about the imposition of uniforms and all that sort of stuff. There's quite a lot of material in here, I think, about the way schools are being run generally, and there's also some signs that the kind of experiences that they're having down there are being shared by other schools around the place. So I suspect this won't be the last we're hearing of this kind of story. But not having any children myself at school, and things have obviously changed quite a lot since I was there, I was pretty intrigued by some of this, though I must admit, not entirely surprised. So here it is, a conversation between myself and Patrick, and I'll see you later.
Patrick, about some interesting experiences that he's been having with the school while his children are now being educated or domesticated. So you had to move them. Thanks for coming and talking to me, Patrick.
Hello.
You so you had to take your kids to a new school because you were moving house to a new town and stuff.
Yeah, it's not. We lived in Devon for about 20 years, and our two older children went to the primary school, secondary school there. They went just through the school in a normal way, and then we moved up here. We lived here for about 3 years, and our youngest child, our two eldest had left by then, but our youngest child went to primary school here, and then he went on to secondary school. He spent a year and a half, and he was very happy. And then we were moving back down to Devon, and he was very keen to go back there. He wanted to go to the school his older brother and sister had been to, and where he had a lot of friends. So he was a lot of the reason for our moving back.
Yeah.
It's a really nice school, in its own way, a little bit chaotic, disorganized, with a history of, it was very unusual because it was a school that abolished a uniform. They had a uniform, and they took the decision that the uniform was causing more trouble than it was worth, and they abolished it, which was a very controversial decision. Not popular with the politicians either.
How long ago did that happen?
About 10 years ago.
That's interesting. I've not heard about a school moving away from a uniform.
Well, it was very unusual.
Did it make a difference to the way the school ran? Did they get the changes they wanted from it?
Look, I would say that it made no difference at all to most things. But I loved the way the kids looked. I thought it was far nicer to look at. And it stopped a problem, because there'd always been problems about kids not wearing the uniform properly, getting their uniforms dirty. There were huge problems with kids. If you had a kid who was too fat or too thin or who grew too fast or was just the wrong kind of shape, or who, as one of our kids did, habitually played in the muddy fields on the way into school. There were endless problems.
Because, of course, you can make a lot of difference to body shape and appearance by what you wear and how you wear it if you've got a bit of leeway,
yeah,
can't you?
And on the whole, you know, they got their own uniform, which was kind of hoodie and trainers.
Yeah.
And you know, they tended to look quite nice in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously some kids look really good in a uniform.
Yes, yeah.
But it wasn't really, I would say, to my mind, it wasn't actually not that big a deal. But it was also very easy to get rid of a uniform, because all they had to do was to say, from September, we will not have a uniform. And the people who really wanted a uniform, all they could do was go in a uniform, which some did.
Yeah.
Not for long.
No, I guess not, no.
Not for long. But there was protests, and people, there's the community, if you like, the community meaning the rather conservative people at the time.
Civil society.
They didn't like it, civil society. They really didn't like it at all. But the kids voted for it overwhelmingly, and the parents were in favour on the whole.
Yeah.
Of not having uniform.
Well, that was presumably a reasonably open democratic process, was it?
Was it? Yeah, they had a vote among students. It was basically decided. They had a vote in students, and two-thirds voted for not having uniform.
And then at some point in the recent past, somebody was appointed to a senior position at the school who decided that the position...
No, it's a little more complex.
Is it? Well, how did it fall
because
out?
Because the man who did this was a man the head teacher who did this was a very progressive, forward-looking teacher, a very intelligent man with strong ideas about education, and he had his weaknesses, definitely, and things were a little chaotic, but his vice principal in all this was a woman who was not on the same intellectual level as him, say.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came to replacing him, they actually voted for her as the continuity person. She was very outspoken and eloquent defender of the non-uniform policy.
Okay.
She was interviewed by The Guardian saying, if there was anything I wanted to fix, I wouldn't choose uniform to do it. And, you know, saying how much better it was without uniform, because they didn't have to spend their time, you know, making people do up their ties and all that kind of sort of nonsense. And that was... So it came as something of a surprise when she suddenly said, well, she didn't come out and say we're going to have a uniform. She put in the sixth paragraph of a rather long letter, which was mostly about a negative Ofsted report...
Mm-hmm.
That they were going to look at changes to the dress code.
Interesting form of words.
Absolutely. And this was, I think they were hoping to slip it under the radar, because of course everybody picked up what this was immediately.
We might assume that she was already knew that the use of the word uniform was perhaps...
By having an open consultation involving the whole community.
Right.
Now... With this was a piece of paper that had a single yes-no question. Do you want a uniform, don't you? Tick box, yes-no.
Yeah.
And less than a centimetre space to put a comment, and comments were not invited unless there were two parents and they had different views. So that was the level of comment that was being asked for. They sent this out, not just to parents and to students, but they sent it out to all the feeder schools, all the staff at feeder schools, all the parents of kids at feeder schools, whether they were going to come to that school or not. They sent it to the local community, but not to Transition Town, because it's Transition Town, not to those people, that's a huge thing. They sent it to the police, they sent it to the local churches, they did everything possible to try and get this consultation to turn into a vote for the uniform. And then, of course, when the figures came in, the head teacher, who I'll name now, she's called Mrs. Mason, and that makes it much easier, Mrs. Mason went on the airwaves saying, we've got a two-thirds majority. And we then started saying, can we see the figures, please? Can we see the figures? And... Some weeks later, I mean, it was about 10 days later, she finally put them up on the website. And what they showed was that although there was overall nearly a two-thirds majority, this was hugely slewed by the feeder schools and staff generally, and by the community. You actually don't get that many community votes. But
do the feeder schools have uniforms as well? Do you know, or are they uniform free?
A lot of the demand for the uniform was coming from the feeder schools.
Yeah.
That was where some of the pressure was coming from. Not particularly, I think, necessarily from the parents, but from the... Yeah, all except one of the feeder schools have a uniform.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Got to the point where she'd said she'd got a two-thirds majority. You'd seen the paperwork.
Yeah. Then when we looked at it, actually, students, it was 54% in favour of the uniform, and parents 55% in favour of a uniform. So it was a lot closer. Now, bear in mind that she'd always said this was a consultation. It wasn't a vote. It hadn't been in any way... how would you say it? It hadn't been in any way validated or...
Monitored. This was just tick boxes on the form.
It was just tick boxes and count up the boxes.
Yeah.
And anybody could get a voting paper.
Yeah.
You couldn't photocopy them, but anyone could get one just when you asked for one.
Yeah.
And they'd sent out masses to feeder schools. So we said, can we see the year breakdown, which were not forthcoming. So we put in a Freedom of Information request, and they showed that there was actually a majority of students who would have to wear the uniform, which was years 7, 8 and 9, were against a uniform, that the whole thing was slewed by the older kids who weren't going to have to wear it, and who some of them admitted they were just having a laugh.
Right.
So
yes, because they knew it didn't have anything to do with them, which is the problem with taking a wider sample that's
absolutely
going to be affected.
So the fact was that this uniform was being forced on a majority of students who'd have to wear it. Now, they had tried to cover this up. They were secretive about this. And it was very difficult to get this information out. Even having found it out, the local paper was very reluctant to print it. We did get it in a letter, but it was really hard to get it out. So what we started doing was building a network of email addresses, so that we could just send out information to people individually. And that has been steadily growing. It's not as big as it should be, but it keeps growing. The school, of course, were convinced that there were just a majority of horrid parents, just a small number of horrid parents causing the trouble. But they kept being surprised because new people kept appearing. They also refused to have any interaction with discontented parents at all.
You tried to organise a meeting, didn't you, which is your right as parents.
We asked the PA for a meeting to discuss the uniform. This was banned by the principal. The principal stopped the chair of the PA doing it.
And this was of course, this is the ex-vice principal, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But it's in the school's constitution, isn't it, that if a given number of parents request a meeting, that it's got to happen, and she turned
down
that.
That's right. But they managed to stop that on a technicality. Having gone for advice to the Parents Association Committee,
an umbrella body
to support them, and they managed to block it on the grounds this was undermining the school. So they refused to have it. So we put it in again, and this time we made it so vague and general that they couldn't refuse. And these PA meetings are just three people.
Yeah.
40 people turned up, most of whom I didn't know. And one after another stood up and gave their reasons why they're against a uniform and why the so-called consultation, which had lasted 2 weeks, and in which only Mrs. Mason had had access to the children, in which she had told them that it would enhance their learning. She had sold it to them as hard as she could.
Before getting them to tick the boxes.
Them to tick the boxes. And there had been no debate, and there had been no proposal from the school. They'd never put in a proposal and said what the uniform was going to be. They'd said nothing. And they tried to do this in 2 weeks, which is illegal. It's completely unlawful. Of course, they were unaware of this because, to be honest, they can't do anything. They're hopeless.
Yeah.
And everything they've done since has just created more problems. Like, every time we're just all settling, I think, oh, it's only a uniform, come on, let's get on with it. A whole new lot of lies appear in the press. Yeah. And then when they came to designing the uniform, they excluded parents from that completely, although parents are going to have to pay for it and have lots of concerns about, you know, things like where it's made, whether it's being made by sweatshop labour, whether it's organic, whether it's, you know, and whether it even looks halfway nice. Yeah. They said, no, parents are having nothing to do with this. We're having it designed by students and teachers.
So what was that?
And then they excluded all the children who were against the uniform were excluded from the design automatically. And we have this in writing.
You know? Yeah. Well, that's pretty interesting as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was their response to finding 40 parents? Because they must have been a bit surprised by seeing so many people turn up.
The governors were, because they turned up in force for it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole of the, most of the leadership team, which is about 10.
Yeah.
And many of the governors turned up.
Yeah.
And I think the governors were taken by surprise, not only by the number, but also by how reasonable everybody was.
Yeah.
They were expecting some sort of mad, long-haired crazies.
I think it's really important that this approach of being peaceful and reasonable is one of the ways of definitely making progress. How did they respond to, what was their move as a result?
We thought that the school, the leadership hasn't, they haven't shifted at all. They just carry on looking for confrontation wherever they can find it. They talk, oh, can't we move forward? You know, they talk very soft, and Mrs. Mason does. But actually there was going for confrontation. Some kids turned up to school with T-shirts saying not uniform and badges. And they were hauled in and made to stand in corridors. They were ordered by the staff to take, ordered by the head teacher to take off their badges. And they refused. And in the end they just had to let them go because they weren't breaking any rules. But they were put through the most awful grillings, just wearing a T-shirt saying not uniform. Didn't even say no uniform.
Yeah.
It was not uniform.
And they're presumably being convinced that this would be a menace to their future and...
Yeah. Taking your names, we're taking your names. This won't be the last of it.
Yeah.
It was horrible to see how confrontational they are immediately.
Yeah. And this is another individual who's decided to, who printed the T-shirts and the badges and things.
Yep.
So presumably you're seeing different levels of
different individuals.
Action.
One individual did the T-shirts and another individual did the badges. And then but of course after that, I mean, the badges, the T-shirts, been a huge hit, all the kids want them.
Yes, yes.
And they've actually, by being confrontational, a school that was probably split about 50-50, all the evidence was.
Yeah.
That the school was split 50-50 on the uniform. I think if they had a vote now, the non-uniform would easily win.
So their behaviour is effectively radicalising radicalising the constituency.
I suspect so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. So how are they trying to progress this? What is their procedure, do you think? Because they're obviously pretty keen to bring in the uniform almost irrespective of what you're thinking.
They've missed their deadlines. They wanted to bring it in for September, that they were determined to. But they're not ready. So they've said they're going to bring it in on the 20th. It will be compulsory from the 24th of September. At which point, they have a disciplinary procedure that has four steps.
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately go in at the third step. Any child then, with any... code, dress code, breach of dress code,
yeah.
i.e. not having the right shoes, will, rather than getting a warning and, you know, that stuff, be sent straight to their tutor, where they will spend the whole day, and then they will put in isolation rooms. Yeah?
Yeah.
And if they persist with that, they will be excluded. So they've made it clear that they're going to be extremely confrontational to the students. They can't be quite as confrontational to parents because they don't have any power over us.
No. Well, presumably the power that they have over the children will be changing as a result of this as well.
Yeah, because children and parents are in open revolt. But they haven't been able to do it for the first day of term because they won't be ready. So they've said it'll be the 24th of September. We are supposed to now order our uniforms now. But a great many, we know a great many parents, it's fairly obvious, well, why bother? The 3 weeks at the beginning of next term to make up our minds whether we'll go along with it.
Yeah.
So once again, they're in a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Because people are just, I mean, it's very easy to not do things.
Mm. Ultimately, they are relying on you enforcing this outlandish diktat, because that's what it is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
They don't have the authority to make this decision.
They completely, because they're doing something that's unpopular, and a lot of people have very strong views about uniform. I don't particularly. Mm. I mean, I think they don't really care that much. I'm against it in a mild sort of way.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do have very strong views. But because of the way they've done it, they've lost authority.
Yeah.
And they're actually losing authority everywhere. They had a PR person, who's quite a well-known person in the town, who has resigned. We don't exactly know why, but we think it's because she's in a very difficult position.
Yeah.
And because she's been giving them advice that they ignore, like she advised them to take another year over it, which would have been good advice. You need to take your time to be in uniform. You need to take people with you. They have no idea about how to take people with you, apart from telling a lot of lies to the press.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, that the press wasn't interested in printing your side of the story, but it seems...
Well, they are quite interested.
Do you reckon?
The journalists are.
Yeah, right.
But...
Yeah.
They have, you know, the owner of those particular papers is a very right-wing person who made them stop reporting on protests against the Iraq war, for example.
Okay.
And
the
journalists are also fairly fed up with Mrs. Mason's lies because they hear them too.
Yeah.
And
you can't get it into the paper, but the paper will publish the views of the other side, as it were.
Well, they have to publish the views of the school. And we do get into the paper. I think this is probably isn't fair. The journalists are actually quite sympathetic. They try hard to print our views, but we don't, obviously. We're a whole bunch of individuals have the same access that a school obviously has and should have. It's quite right that the school should have the best access to the local paper and that the paper should print what they say. Ooh, I think that it's right and proper.
Yeah.
It's the use that this particular leadership team is making of it to using it as a kind of propaganda machine. I mean, it feels like North Korea sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
If they printed the truth, which was to say that, well, a lot of people are, we are having some difficulties persuading people, some people, about the uniform, but we do feel, you know, that we've done it as well as we can, and we can't go back on it, and, but, you know, it would be bad to go back on it. You know, they took that kind of line, but instead they tried to airbrush all dissent out of the picture. So everybody's delighted with this uniform. The students love it. It's kind of, you know, it raises my blood pressure to read it.
Do you feel that the teachers are behind the management team on this one? Do you get the impression?
Most of them. The teachers, they've been running a kind of regime in the school, a North Korean type regime, where teachers are not allowed to say if they disagree with the management line.
Right.
They will get in severe trouble if they start saying anything different. So the teachers have been, most of them, the young teachers and new teachers, very much persuaded that there's quite a lot of discipline problems in the school. and that a uniform will help with discipline. Of course it won't.
No.
It won't. It doesn't make any difference.
No.
This is not, as Mrs. Mason herself said, uniform's not a way to fix those kind of problems.
No. As you said, the removal of a uniform didn't make a lot of difference, no. So presumably the addition of a uniform wouldn't either.
No.
So the teachers have effectively been brought on board, or maybe they've not, even if they weren't, they couldn't say anything about it.
Well, they can't have open discussions about it in the in the common rooms.
So there's another group of people who are effectively excluded from a consultation. It can't be genuine.
They can't have genuine debate, and they don't hear the other side. They only hear the very vocal leadership, which, I mean, again, with irony, is that Mrs. Mason herself was the most, one of the most eloquent defenders of non-uniform policy.
Yeah.
But a lot of her team are, they're a bit dim, and they're quite ambitious, confrontational people, really. Yeah. I mean, when Ofsted come back, a lot of us will be writing to complain to them about the quality of some of the vice principals who are apparently illiterate from the letters that they write to us.
Right, yes. Yeah. You've got quite a lot of documentation now, haven't you?
Oh, we've been keeping very good documentation, yes.
Yeah. And do you get the feeling, because, I mean, my impression is that a few people were concerned about this, and then because of the responses of the school, a few more people joined what might loosely be called a campaign, but basically it's simply a bunch of individuals who are, for their own reasons, slowly but surely, you know, getting on board. So what you've got is a bunch of people who are doing their own thing, making their own decisions. Do you find there's any attempt to try and classify you as a group?
To begin with, what happened was that right at the beginning, after this two-week consultation period, some of us wrote a letter together, six of us got together, put together a detailed letter of complaint, formal complaint, not about the decision, but about the process, about the way it had been done, with six points about that we thought were wrong, because we thought we want them to actually address these points.
And that's a formal complaint, it's not
ignored. And we put it in as a formal complaint to the governors. Because it wasn't a normal complaint, I mean, you complain to the governor about things happening in the school, but this was the governors had done this. We were complaining to the governors about what they'd done. We asked for a full meeting of governors to discuss it. Their complaints procedure doesn't really cover this. But in a weekend, we all went round our friends to get signatures, and we got 57 signatures of people who wanted to join in this complaint, this formal complaint. We put it in to them. And what we got back was a letter from the chair of the governors, who oddly writes in an identical style to the head, to the principal. I've always found that slightly strange, but they are very close, so maybe they just do have very similar styles.
Mm.
Basically not answering some points, answering other points with things that we thought were false, and other things just sort of brushing them away and spending an awful lot of time on things, on justifying why they were having a uniform, which wasn't the subject of the complaint, and also writing even about the recent Ofsted report, which had nothing to do with it at all. But they seem to think that we thought, you know, so who knows. So we get this rather irrelevant letter back. I then decided that I couldn't deal with this anymore. That if that was what they were like, there was very little point in having any further dealings with them. They kept writing to me. They always referred to us as a group. And I kept writing back and saying, this is not a group. These are 57 complainers. And they kept writing to me as a representative of the group. And I said, I'm just the postman. Okay, I did have a hand in writing it, but These are 57 people who signed this letter, having read it, knowing that they wanted to complain about this. I don't know what they think. If you write to me, I'll pass your information on. I've got, you know, I've given you all the signatures, I've got addresses, I'll pass it on, and we'll see what they, what people say. And that's what I did. I got probably not very many, 10 or a dozen responses back from people, and then I put the whole thing together as a dossier.
Yeah.
They then started to panic because they hadn't dealt with this very well, or maybe they didn't, and they started on their, the governors started saying, well, you can take this complaint further. I passed it on to somebody else at this stage, but eventually I did get an admission from the principal that we were not a group.
Yeah.
But they tried very hard. Now, I can understand that it's difficult to deal with 50, with a lot of different individuals, and that you need to sometimes deal with one or two people.
That's why you'd hope that your management style was such as to somehow keep them on board rather than raise them all against you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And how do you feel about the fact that the management and people in charge of your children's education don't seem to be able to sometimes write a literate letter, and when you do try to stick them to, say, 6 points, that they just meander and obfuscate? What do you feel that implies?
Oh, look, I mean, you've got to the nub of it there in terms of my feelings. But I think it's the worst thing summed up at a meeting, the first meeting we had of parents coming, when we looked at all the stuff we'd had, and one parent said, is it too much to expect that the people who are in charge of our children's education tell us the truth?
Mm.
And in a way that sums it all up. I think we are most disturbed by being, I'm not going to, you know, sometimes I use words like deceived or kind of, but being lied to.
Mm. Mendacious.
We've had enough of being lied to.
And their response to being discovered in a lie has been to tell more lies.
Yes, I mean the thing is that Mrs. Mason's quite, you know, she's quite good at saying nothing.
Mm.
Giving an impression, and then you analyse her words and they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
So in a sense we are being misled.
Yeah.
But actually there are quite a lot, we've got quite a lot of actual lies that she's told us.
Mm.
I mean, it's so confusing because every time they talk about the uniform, they give a different reason why they're bringing it in. Every single time it's different. And that's a kind of lie.
Yeah.
Could you just tell us why you decided to bring in the uniform?
Yeah.
Could you just tell us that you don't give a monkey's what we think? You're going to do it anyway. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this whole weird world that we feel sucked into, and we feel very worried about our kids being in a, you know, in an environment. And a lot of the teachers are great, and a lot of the education is fine. It's not all bad, and the kids are happy a lot of the time. But you sense that the secrecy and sheer incompetence among the senior management is such that this school cannot go on very much longer.
No, and poor ability to deal with people as well. You know, again, it's an important skill if you're going to be educating youngsters.
Yeah.
To be able to deal with people in a way that's going to keep them on board, not disturb them.
Yeah.
And they're showing, in fact, absolutely no sign of this, as far as I can gather, in this process.
Well, not over this affair.
And you've heard of another school in Milton Keynes that's having similar
problems?
Just
heard about that. I don't know too much about it, but somebody picked up on the BBC website a story about a school, I think it's in Milton Keynes, that had heard a story very much the same as ours, with astonishing parallels.
Right. Are any of the individuals involved in your kind of approaches, do you think, going to look at that a little more closely?
Well, we will look at that. Now we know about it, we'll look at it and write to them and try and find
out
more.
Clearly what's going on there, the authority to do it isn't there. Anyway, just the imposition of a uniform without consultation. They refuse to let you have a parents' association meeting, which it says in the constitution you can have.
But they say, the kind of thing that really always gets us going, they say, we've had a very thorough consultation. That's what she said to the press last week. Yeah. We've had a very thorough consultation. Mm. What?
Yeah. you know? Absolutely no consultation at all, not really.
Well, tick the box.
Yeah, yeah.
Thorough consultation. Box is ticked.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like our language is fairly carefully construed, a bit like a politician's. You're aware that they'll dance around the issue but not give you an answer. Do you feel that she's actually coming up with all of this stuff, these ideas, entirely out of her own head, and that she's then enforcing them against the will of parents and children, all on her own drive? Or do you feel that what we're seeing here is a manifestation of something wider? I mean, you know that I'm interested in neuro-linguistic programming, in common purpose, and various other group dynamics. And it just seems to me that the description I've heard from you and your lady about your interaction with these, the freedom of information requests, the fact that basically they will try and make you get angry and sideline you, they haven't got any response that is actually anywhere near a reasonable, normal, emotionally adjusted, rational human being's reaction to any of this. I mean, they seem to me to be cold and switched off and...
Look, I have no idea. I cannot. I have no idea what's going on in them. I couldn't possibly say. But it does seem to me odd that they apparently have no plan B.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. They've gone for this. They must be following some sort of template somewhere. Yeah. And they don't seem to have. When things went wrong, which they did fairly early on, they don't seem to have any other way, any fallback scheme, apart from ploughing on with this is what we're going to do. And there are ideas around that there are some fairly subtle pressures coming on schools that don't have uniforms to get uniforms.
Yeah.
Perhaps not that subtle. We haven't found any evidence as yet. But the school can be quite sure that from now on, they are going to be watched by parents, they are going to get more Freedom of Information Act requests, we are going to keep looking to try to find out what's going on, because we don't trust them, and we won't start trusting them again.
You know that you've been lied to. For me, in the past, that has been more or less fatal. People can do all sorts of things to me, and I'll generally allow a three strikes thing, you know.
Yep.
But if you know somebody's told you a lie, it makes it very, very difficult to trust anything they say or do.
Yep.
Until they restore your confidence, if they can, which is quite difficult.
It is very difficult, yes. That's the trouble with lying. Mm. I mean, lying's an enormously successful strategy.
Yeah.
Until people start realising that that's what you're doing.
And then, this is what we're saying, isn't it? It's the response to the fact that people are being lied to. The fact that finally, at the moment at least, some people are turning around and going, hang on a moment, we need to look more closely at this. This is probably the first time it's happened to them.
Yeah.
I might have.
Also, that they are finally up against the parents, or a group of people who can't be intimidated.
Mm.
And are not. I think they think that we should just if you don't like it, take your children and go move to another town. Well, aren't any other. You know, we're not going to. Our children are there. It's not their school. It's our school. And we're not going to go away. Our kids are going to stay at that school. We're not going to move them. No. Whatever happens, we don't really have a choice about it.
No.
And they can't coerce us. I can walk into that school with a not uniform T-shirt any day of the week. They can't do anything about it. Can't punish me. They can't send me for detention with Mr. Chisholm. You know.
Yeah.
They can't expel me.
It would appear that the governors are still a pretty independent layer of management. So, although at the moment I would imagine, I've always imagined that school governors are mostly supine. You know, that you get the job and you sign whatever papers.
I've been a school governor before.
You have.
And It feels often fairly pointless, because if you've got a good functioning principal, you just, the principal says, and you back her. Yeah. And you have to. And if you don't, I mean, I didn't on one occasion, and I was publicly reprimanded at the governor's meeting for kind of not supporting our principal. I mean, I've done something incredibly mild.
Yeah.
There's amazing pressures to support yeah. the principal. Most of them, what I found when I was a governor, and it wasn't anything like this, you know, we had a good principal,
yeah.
but the governors never knew what was going on. So we'd have the principal's report to the governors at the beginning, and it would be all jolly good stuff, you know, and everybody would go, yes, yeah, very good, very good, very good. Mm. And then I'd put up my hand and say, what about whatever it was that was going on in the playground people were talking about? And they said, I'm glad you brought that up, Patrick, yes. But she wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, somebody had to bring it up.
So only because as a parent governor, because I knew what people were talking about in the playground when people were picking their kids up. I knew what the concerns were. Most of the governors haven't, they only know what the principal tells them.
So these, again, perhaps these concerns very rarely find their way into the governor's views either. And now, like you said, you've got some governors who are a bit disturbed themselves by this.
When I sent the complaint, 57 parents to the governors, I got a list of governors and I sent it to every governor. And I got a letter back very quickly. I had two letters telling me off in no uncertain terms for sending it direct to governors rather than sending it through the school. The secretary for the governors, the clerk.
Yeah.
The clerk to the governors okay. is also the PA to the principal. Everything you send to the governors goes through the principal's office and is seen first by the principal, who of course is also a governor.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's a filter on what goes to the governors.
Yeah.
And I don't find that very democratic.
No.
And I could not, for the life of me, understand what their problems were about parents communicating directly with governors.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem? I yeah. still don't get it. But they were very upset about it. That was the thing that almost upset them most.
Right, interesting. And that, I mean, you've got every reason for doing that, in fairness, because the lady concerned has expressed a strong support for no uniform, and then has switched her position to having a strong support for uniform.
Well, that's she, there's been no explanation why she changed her mind. She's never explained why she changed her mind.
But yeah. she's also the filter that stands between you and the governor, somebody who's known to be inconsistent on the exact matter in hand.
Yes.
So, how many governors are there, just as a matter of interest, do you know, roughly?
Oh, about 15.
Right, okay, yeah. Did any of the governors respond? Were any of them not impressed to be contacted personally by you, or were any of them actually enthusiastic about engaging with what you were saying was a failure in process? You weren't complaining about the imposition of the uniform, you were complaining about the process which had been used to do that. Were any of the governors particularly fired up?
I don't know.
You didn't get any responses?
The only thing of it was that the clerk to the governors, who was communicating with me about this, wrote to me asking me to meet as a representative of the group. Because what they always do is they try to get, if they identify somebody, bring them in to meet one of the governors and the head teacher. Mm. And she said, and it was phrased like this, a representative of the government wants to set up a meeting with you. Could you tell us your phone number? Well, now I'm not good on phones because I'm deaf and sometimes I can't hear people very well on the phone. Depends a bit who they are. So I'm never keen for my first contact to be like that. And I wrote back saying, well, why don't you tell them to just to email me? And then I discovered that there was a little appendage this that she'd sent on by mistake of her exchange of emails with this governor, saying, and she'd written him saying, shall I give him your email? And, you know, or give him, and he wrote back saying, no, don't do that or I'll be emailed to death. Mm. And her whole tone of his emails was so hostile to me.
I find this very interesting. This is something that happens to us a lot, you know, in the course of the correspondence that comes from situations like this is often very informative in itself, but so often, something comes attached to an email or included in an envelope that we're really not supposed to see. Yeah. And it's always gold dust.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The emails you're not supposed to see. Yeah. We've so also...
The governors don't sound thoroughly independent either from...
Yeah, there's a freedom of information. We've been asking for stuff and they send us derisory amounts. Mm. And they said, well, there are no emails. Now, apparently, so we've complained. I mean, one of the people who asked for stuff and got sent nothing has complained to the Freedom of Information people.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, this summer, having their computers redone, and we think a lot of emails may get lost.
Right, yeah.
Because I just don't believe they don't send emails to each other. Of course they do, and there's lots of lots about their uniform.
Yeah.
They're not going to share them with us.
Oh, it's a real shame, isn't it? You can't, I mean, I don't know whether they apply, but there is a thing in law, a data subject access request, where you can get all of the information they've got, all of it. But, I mean...
How do you do it? How do we force them?
That's the thing. That's the thing, isn't it? Because, again, they're acting completely outside their own due process.
I think the main point about the Freedom of Information Act is it makes them wriggle.
Yeah.
It makes them feel uncomfortable. It makes them anxious. That's all.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, it could take years to force them to give the information that we want.
We can't really...
They simply block.
Yes. And, of course, it's... I mean, one of the things that's really good about this individual approach is that there's a lot of some people doing badges, some people's doing T-shirts, some people are doing Freedom of Information.
Yeah.
And then actually following up the Freedom of Information by saying, that was rubbish, guys, give us some more.
Yeah.
It means that it's very difficult for us to tell overall what the effect is on the system.
Yeah.
But, and I think, in a way, there's a bit of me that really regrets that, because I really do feel that there is a level of authority being exercised here which we see around, well, I see more around us more generally. And I'd really like to know, what interests me about this story is the fact that there's individuals now coming across representatives of management in somewhere as down at the grassroots as the school, and they're finding that they just can't stomach what's being done. And I think it's a shame that we're not going to be able to keep track of this myriad of things that are happening down there. But it'd be great to keep up with you about what you're doing. And perhaps at some point I might come and have a look at the paperwork with you, because there might be some stuff in there that's... We can put together another little thing, because I think we're going to hear more of this. It's only recently that you found the Milton Keynes School that appears to have...
More stuff comes up all the time.
Mm. Well, I'd be very interested if you know, to talk again about that, because I think it's going to be a growing story. So, there's a couple of things that as we come to the close of this that occur to me. One is, we've got a bunch of people, including students and including parents, who have put in some very valid objections to the methods and what's being done. And yet the school is ploughing on anyway, and we're now, maybe 8 weeks away or something from whenever it is they'll impose it. What do we think is going to happen at that point? Do we think everybody will cave in and wear the uniform?
Yeah, probably most people will. It's so far, it's been very much like a sort of guerrilla action. I don't like to talk about things in terms of warfare, because warfare is horrible, but
that's right.
There are kind of parallels.
Yeah.
They find it very difficult to deal with parents who oppose what they're doing, or students, because they can't identify us. They want to just sort of make an identity so that they can attack us and isolate us and stuff.
Yeah.
And we keep disappearing and then reappearing and somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that makes it very difficult. And the students seem to be the same. There have already been actions from students, for instance wearing the badges and the not uniform t-shirts, that have had a remarkable effect, because they clearly haven't read their sociology texts about amplification of deviance. And the badges are now hot properties.
Yes.
Everyone wants a badge. But instead of wearing them on their front, they wear them on the side of their jeans. So that they all know who's wearing a badge, but if a management person comes, it's really easy to just hide it to keep yourself out of trouble.
Yeah.
the majority, I would say now, of the majority of kids view themselves as being forced, having a uniform forced upon them. I feel very sorry for the kids, for the two kids who were in the paper being photographed modelling the uniform with happy smiles and being quoted as saying how wonderful the uniform was going to be. I do not think those are going to be popular kids next year. No. I think that, I hate to say it, but I'm afraid of bullying on the part of the non-uniform people bullying the uniform people, yeah. Because I think they're in a majority, and I think they're also the clever kids, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Undoubtedly, I think as a parent, I can only speak for myself, I will not in any way encourage my child to not wear a uniform. My view is that if it's the rules of the school, you have to abide by the rules of the school. It doesn't work otherwise. If, on the other hand, he refuses to wear a uniform or takes part in some group action, I shall support him. There's already been... we had a letter from... to the network from about a kid who had been who'd been hauled in to be told the sort of serious stuff, who quoted Gandhi, said, we're learning about Gandhi in school. And Gandhi said, first they'll laugh at us, then they'll fight us, and finally they'll go away. And that's, you know, like they're teaching them about Gandhi, and that's how they're going to play it.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of resistance, I think, to begin with. A lot of kids will go in without a uniform. In a week or so, they'll all knuckle down and they'll realise they've got to get an education, they've got to go through this. But they're imposing it on a reluctant population.
And
it's going to be time-consuming, it's going to be undermining, and it's going to be awful.
And it has thrown up some very important points about the way the place is being run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think on the whole, a lot of parents have had enough.
Yeah.
And will simply be complaining to Ofsted about the way the school is being run. There's no point in complaining to Ofsted about anything to do with the uniform, because, of course, they support all that. Mm. The trouble is that the whole of the educational establishment is entirely pro-uniform.
Yeah.
And entirely pro-authority, so they will support the authority of the school. They have to. But I think that the problem is that this is not... is the result stupid?
Yeah.
And the results last year were terrible. Mm. If the results this year are not a great deal better for the GCSE... if they haven't improved, then this school, it doesn't matter what we do or what anybody does, this school is going to special measures within a year,
yeah.
I would guess. Yeah. If the results are really good, then we can give up and just buy the uniform, because that's what matters to people. In the end, that's what matters. The fact that they're forcing a uniform on our kids is one thing. The fact that they are failing to provide a proper education in core subjects...
Yeah.
That's where they're going to fall down, and that's where it's going to come to. And unfortunately, it seems to us that this, the cock-ups in the introduction of the uniform are indicative of a general failure of the management to put in proper systems of communication from senior to middle management. They just harass teachers. They don't support them. Because that's all they know to do. They conflict with teachers. They don't support them.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a few pets they support, but overall. Yeah. So I think that that's going to be the defining factor. But I also think that the whole thing of uniform is going to create bitterness in the school for at least a decade.
Mm. Yeah.
It's going to take a long time for it to work out.
But in the end, they'll get what they want, it sounds, which is a school in which the older children, the younger children wear uniforms. The older children don't, at least to start with. And irrespective of their methods, they've achieved their ends.
It's a Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah.
Because at what price?
Yeah. Yeah. Then again, though, I suppose, you know, the thing with schools, isn't it, is that you're dealing with a kind of throughput after 5 years all those guys have gone and you've got a bunch of people who have to wear the uniform from the moment they walk through the gates?
Yeah, but parents often have children who are younger.
Coming up.
The memory is, of this is going to linger a long time.
Yeah.
It's bitter, and it has divided the whole community, as the governors have admitted. They're supposed to not divide the community. It's one of the things they are specifically supposed to do, is to unite the community. Of course,
yeah.
The community. Of course, here we're talking often about, you know, it refers to things like sort of Muslim places and things. But it applies to us too.
Yeah.
And it's split.
Mm.
And it's horrible.
And they will find themselves under closer scrutiny, presumably, from the parents. I mean, I guess there is...
Yeah.
That's another thing, though, isn't it? I mean, you look at this stuff and it takes up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
It also means that you're dealing with people you've recognised as incompetent, which is... And it's always difficult to pursue that. Presumably, it must be hard to think about continuing, Caitlin, because then you think, oh, well, it's just a uniform.
I don't believe that you can run a school without the goodwill of 90% of the parents.
Mm.
They've lost the goodwill of possibly 50% of the parents. Quite likely more.
Yeah.
I find it very hard to see how this management team can continue for very much longer.
Mm.
Because if you lose the parents, you've lost.
Yeah.
You've lost it. It isn't their school, it's our school.
Yeah.
And they've forgotten that.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see how a new management team performs, see if they're markedly any different from the old one.
Well, I would hope. I mean, it's hard to see. I mean, usually if they bring in special measures or something, which is the only way to get them out, actually, is special measures. And unless the results improve, they're heading for special measures anyway.
And then the government's talking now, isn't it, of turning all special measure schools into academies?
Yeah, they'll turn it into an academy, and I think that I can't really see any way out, but I would prefer my kids to be at a properly run academy in which the teachers were able to get on with teaching and there was some kind of handle on discipline, you know, disruption, I'm talking about disruption here.
Yeah.
With less disruption in classes.
Yeah. Once again, though,
and have a uniform. I prefer that than what's going on at the moment, which is just incompetence, really.
Again, though, the disruption in the classroom is almost certainly a reflection of the levels of management at the school. You know, the two things are related, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, the support, you know, for teachers who have disruptive, we hear, is not very good.
No time to find out why the pupils are becoming disruptive either, but in a school where the management is actively and vociferously actually hunting the children on a given matter, they can expect to have a little bit of discipline problem.
I think that, you know, to try and look on the bright side a bit, that the students can learn a great deal from this.
Yeah.
What you learn at school is not just maths and, maths and science and English. It's also, you learn, the students organise, they learn about authority.
Mm.
They learn how to deal with authority, they learn about dissent, they learn about, these are important things. I mean,
yeah.
They're studying Gandhi
in
RE, you know, and then they get to actually see what happens in practice when you get a kind of, because in some ways, a school is a totalitarian regime.
Mm.
It's a classic totalitarian regime, which is why the school is continually being compared to Zimbabwe or North Korea.
Mm.
That's what people say, oh my God, that sounds like North Korea.
Yeah.
We say it over and over again.
Yeah.
Because that's in a way what it is, but of course that is how the school is structured. And maybe it's quite hard for it to work if it isn't structured to some extent like that.
Mm.
I'm not naive about this.
Mm.
But they have to keep the goodwill of the parents.
Yeah.
They have to.
Which sometimes means a minimal amount of hard work, but you must do that work, and you must at least try to avoid actively pissing the parents off.
Yeah.
And then winding them up.
Yeah.
Which is what appears to have happened here.
Yeah. Well, it means engaging with them on important decisions.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'd be very interesting. I shall certainly be keeping my eyes open to see whether there's any similar things going on.
Yeah.
And obviously keep up with you and hear how it resolves itself, you know, hear what happens when the uniforms do come in, that'll be interesting. It'll also be interesting to know, because you say lots of new stuff's coming in, it'd be interesting to hear if it does grow, because obviously it is my hope that people aren't going to just shrug their shoulders and go, oh, well, it's only a uniform and, well, might as well let that one go. It is my hope that people are going to start realising that this problem in our management structures, not only in schools but elsewhere, is pretty much epidemic. That we have people who manage like this for whatever reason. They might all have done common purpose, they might not. I always say if the agenda is widely enough shared, people do not need to conspire with each other.
Well, I'm at the moment actually standing for governor on a specifically anti-uniform, not so much anti-uniform, but on the whole way it's been done, to allow parents to express their view about this. They've postponed the governor's elections, unsurprisingly. They've postponed them till next term because I think they don't want me. But if I get in as governor, then I will have access to knowledge. And I will also be able to tell people things and they won't be able to shut me up.
And how do you get elected as a governor then? Who's responsible? Who's in the...
Well, it's parents.
An electoral, the parents.
It's parents, yeah. It's a parent governor. And there are two.
Available.
There are two posts coming up. They've put it off as long as they possibly can, in a way. And there are, of course, two anti-uniform people standing. The other person I don't know, but I do know he's standing. And he's standing on very similar grounds to me. Whether they've got any pro-uniform people standing, I don't know. So this will be a kind of an electoral test.
And do all of the kind of campaigning and pamphleting?
No, all you get to do is you write a resume.
Okay.
And I've written my resume, and the first paragraph is, I'm standing because I was dismayed at the way the consultation was done and how things have been conducted ever since. And then I've said that I will try and work with the governors if I'm elected. I will do my best to work positively, to heal wounds and to, you know, bring aside, and that I've been a governor before. I know what it's about. I'm not unrealistic. And I'll do my best to do that. Whether I'll be able to, I don't know. So whether I will get voted in, I've no idea. If I am, that will change things in itself. If I'm not, I shall start writing to them under the Freedom of Information Act to try to find out what training courses the leadership go on. I think that's an interesting line to pursue.
I think that's a very interesting line to pursue.
And as far as I can see, they will have to tell us.
Yeah. So one way or the other, you're determined to just keep turning it over a little bit, either as a governor or...
Well, I mean, this is the school. This is the school my son goes to.
How long has he got there?
He got another 3 years till GCSE. And after that, he might continue there, but the way it's going, probably not. I am concerned about this school. I think the school is in a very serious crisis that they are simply denying, and this is not a crisis about them. They needed to bring in the uniform. If they were going to do it like this, they needed to do it at a time when the whole school was working really well. The whole school is in crisis. There's a crisis of staff morale. They're hemorrhaging teachers. They can't keep teachers. They're not getting good teachers. They're appointing poor people to middle management positions. Their whole kind of, everything's wrong. That there's a climate of fear in the staff rooms. People can't say what they think. Everything's wrong in this school. And I am very concerned that I'm not going to take my son away. That's not a possibility. So therefore I need to get involved, try to sort it out. And the governors have a responsibility for the school. And I think it's time they had more governors. There are some good governors. I have heard this and I'm sure there are good governors. But they're one or two. They're isolated. We can change the culture of the governors. Possibly.
And they are still... I mean, whatever else is going on in other levels of management, it sounds like they're pretty independent, the governors. Although, because they're presumably the other governors, not the parent governors, but the other governors are placemen of some sort, are they?
A lot of them are. I mean, God knows where they come from. I mean, But, you know, they're not on the whole the kind of people who do common purpose courses.
No.
They don't have time. They've got jobs.
Yeah.
You know, they're involved in all kinds of stuff and they just turn up the main problem with the governors is they're not well informed, and so they're easily manipulated.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why they're not well informed is that everything has to go through one person to get to.
Well, exactly, yeah. So you have to look at the power structures, and I think there's no reason why, as a governor, you cannot raise the fact that the clerk to the governors is also the PA to the to the principal, and suggest that this doesn't look good.
Mm. Might be a conflict of interest there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not
because the governors are there as a means of as a kind of executive management, isn't it? Like,
well, the image they use is a critical friend.
Okay.
So you are supposed to be a friend to the principal, but most of the time the critical bit is kicked into the long grass, and you're just there to support the principal, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, at times like this, it seems you're required to be critical. And actually, what I feel though, is that there is a very serious crisis in the school. Mm. And that's why I keep saying, it's the results, stupid.
Yeah.
Because if the results are good, then the principal can deny there's a crisis and will be believed.
Mm. Yeah.
Because perhaps there isn't a crisis, I don't know.
Mm.
It always will show in the results.
Yeah.
If they can't get the teaching together, if they can't manage the school properly, kids are going to start. Kids who should pass GCSEs are going to start failing or getting lower grades than they should do.
At least a fairly basic benchmark, isn't it?
It's a very fair. And the two schools with which we're always compared, which are very similar schools with very similar intake, there's no reason why this school shouldn't be the same as them, and it's miles below in the league tables.
Mm.
GCSE league tables. Yeah. And you can go in and you can say, well, that's not GCSE, so not all that's mad, there's other things matter in school. To some extent that's true and I agree with it. But at the end of the day, if your kid is not able to go on and do A-levels, the A-levels they want to do, they're missing out.
And that's the way it should be. It's really, those qualifications should be the bottom line. Ideally, there should be more stuff than just the qualifications got out of the school.
Absolutely. It's one of the, because a lot of my friends say, oh, you know, that all that's education stuff. But it's also one of the few ways in which the idea and the fact meet. Because you can have, Mrs. Mason will tell you all kinds of wonderful management speak blah about how fantastic the school is. And it's very difficult to counter it until you've got these. And you say, but hang on, we are 5% below the average school in the country. We're getting results something like inner city schools, you know, with a high proportion of immigrants.
Yeah.
And that's the fact. That's where you're up against the fact.
At your school, everybody's speaking the language that's being taught in and things like that, and there's a whole load of challenges that don't arise in.
Absolutely. Yeah. This school should be in the top 25% of schools for results, and if it's not, then they are not being properly taught in core subjects.
Yeah.
Because it is a normal secondary school. It's not a Steiner school. Yeah. It's a secondary school, and it has to, you know, which is why I think that, you know, it's not going to go on much longer. No. It can't. The situation's very unstable. They can't get away with being so incompetent.
My guess is you're going to find out a lot more about the school management system and the management of Ofsted and things like that as a result of this, because your eyes are going to be on it more closely when the Ofsted thing happens, which it sounds like it quite likely will. But
Ofsted will be back within a year.
Yeah.
And unless the results are very good, in which case
they're really lifted. As far as I can gather, there are another bunch who aren't necessarily that well qualified to do what they're doing either. So you're likely to have one bunch of people who are at best poorly informed coming to look at another bunch of people who are poorly informed, poorly managed, and not allowed to be independent enough to do anything about it anyway.
Well, quite. I mean, there's Ofsted, obviously, but I mean, it's the only kind of fallback there is. I mean, I'm personally very grateful that they exist, because otherwise this school would just go on spiralling downwards indefinitely. Oh God, I've said a lot of stuff there about the school, but I mean, it is what I think.
The thing is, you see, what we do is we put it out live, which only gets heard once, and I've got the stream then.
Yeah.
So I can send it to you and you can listen to it before we put it up as a podcast, so that nothing goes up actually on the on the record. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of officialdom listening to TNS radio. I don't think you're likely to get caught out by
anybody.
And I think you've been fairly mellow about them all anyway.
We now have a list. We have an email list of over 100 names. Mm. And we've always thought there'll be a mole.
Yeah.
But there isn't.
Right.
They're not very aware. They go on the Facebook page, they look up what's going on the Facebook page, and they react to that. But if there was a mole in our email list, we'd know
that. You'd be getting feedback. Yes, you would, because they're actually, yes, you definitely would.
Yeah.
And so they're keeping an eye on the Facebook, and they're responding to that as well.
Yeah.
I find the influence of Facebook quite extraordinary.
I mean, one thing that was very dramatic that came up was that the school had decided on two things. One was they had a core curriculum for year seven. I won't bother with what that is.
Yeah.
But it was a kind of new thing that had been brought in with huge fanfare and the usual kind of Mrs. Mason hype.
Yeah.
About how fantastic it was and this was the best in the country, all that. And the other was they were doing the International Baccalaureate. Both of these things they'd abandoned. Now, we knew they'd abandoned them because people coming for year sixes coming to look at the school had been told, oh, we're not doing that anymore. And people asking to do the International Baccalaureate had been told we're not doing that. There'd be nothing put out on the website or anywhere else. So we put it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And immediately, you know, within a week, a letter went out to all parents explaining why they were doing these two things. And also correcting some slight inaccuracy. Well, we didn't know. We were only hearing from what students have told us. And so suddenly they were telling everybody because they'd read it on their Facebook page. And we were able to say, look, this is what they're not telling us about what goes on in the school.
That's quite interesting. You see, it makes Facebook quite an interesting weapon, doesn't it? Because you can put stuff in there and see what pops up.
Yeah, they react.
But so they are doing the baccalaureate. But they haven't told the parents or the...
No, they've given up on
it. They've given up, so they launched it.
And then we get a lot of blow. Well, we get a lot of blow. Yeah, they launched it, huge fanfare, loads of money goes into it, all set up. And what they're saying is, no, we haven't stopped doing the baccalaureate. We're just not doing it this year because we didn't get enough people applying for it or something. But once you stop doing it, you won't get start again, will you?
No.
You know, that idea that, oh, we might do it the year after or the year after, that's just rubbish. Yeah. That's obviously not going to happen.
And again, there's been a launch and then a fail to commit, really.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting. Well, I wish them and you the best of luck, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
Tom, very much for talking about that. Well, I bet you will be hearing more of it, but it's brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.